The old dining hall in the East Wing hadn't been used for a major gathering in more than 30 years, and it looked it. A small army of servants were scrubbing the floor, laying rush mats and lighting wall torches as the main courses of the meal were being served. The regent said nothing and did his best not to notice the scurrying servants. He'd intended to use the dining hall in the North Wing, but at the last moment Prince Louis's men had occupied it and he hadn't felt like fighting a war to get it back. So here he was, presiding over a banquet in one of the dingiest parts of the East Wing. God knows what they'd been using the place for previously, but from the smell that still lingered on the air, he should have ordered the hall fumigated first. Count William Howard leaned back in his chair and looked out over the crowd of nobles and courtiers and traders who sat packed shoulder to shoulder at the freshly scrubbed tables, filling the air with their chatter. There was more than enough wine for everyone, and the food was surprisingly good under the circumstances, but William only picked at his. He had too much on his mind to allow for an honest appetite. He didn't really want to be there at all, but his presence was necessary to prop up the weaker elements, who needed to see him being calm and strong. As long as he didn't look scared or worried, they could convince themselves they weren't either. The regent looked out over his supporters and fought to keep a weary frown off his face. They weren't the kind he'd have chosen for his friends, but he needed these people if he was to establish his own power base. Whoever eventually ended up on the throne of Redheart, they were going to need to help to govern the kingdom, and the regent intended there should be only one person able to give that help, him. Let the princes have their troops and their magic. He would control trade, prices, and politics. And at the end of the day, he could control the king, too. In a way, although he regretted King Malcolm's death, in the long run, it was for the best. The royal line had grown weak and corrupt, distorted by their own power. Malcolm hadn't been a bad sort, all told. He'd just listened to too many stupid ballads about the honor and glory of the warrior's life. William had found a great deal of pleasure in Malcolm's company, when they weren't arguing politics, but their separate positions had meant they could never be the close friends they might otherwise have been. Still, William was determined to catch Malcolm's murderer and see him hang. He could do that much, at least, for his friend. Even if it turned out to be one of Malcolm's sons. William stirred uneasily in his chair. They had to be the most obvious suspects, if only because they had the most to gain. But as yet, no real evidence had turned up to incriminate any of them. Strange, that. You'd have thought something would have surfaced by now. Instead, they were busy gathering their forces and preparing for civil war, and he was trapped in this gloomy old hall, surrounded by chattering fools. Sometimes William wondered if Malcolm hadn't been right after all about the joys of battle.
My lords and ladies.
Down below at the end of one of the tables, some minor noble lurched to his feet.
I propose a toast. In these dark times, may we always have our Count Howard to light the way.
William lifted his glass to his mouth and wet his lips with the wine as everybody else finished their glasses. William was getting fed up with toasts. There had been too many of them, and they were beginning to sound increasingly hollow.
My lords and ladies, I too call upon you.
William grabbed a nearby empty platter.
To raise your glasses once again.
William couldn't help but smile, but to him the laughter seemed strained and forced. Gabrielle leaned close beside him.
My dear, that was a very nice throw, but I wouldn't do it again. A single outburst they'll explain away as high spirits, but more than one would be taken as a sign of tension.
I hate jesters.
That wasn't a jester.
Better safe than sorry.
Gabrielle smiled despite herself. William made a placating gesture with his hand.
I know, my dear. It was a stupid thing to do, but it drives me insane to just sit here doing nothing. How much longer before I can diplomatically leave?
No more than an hour or so, my love. Now eat your dinner. It's delicious.
I'm not hungry.
Eat it anyway. There are too many rumors of poison going around the court at the moment, and we can't afford to look timid in front of our guests.
William looked unenthusiastically at the platter of roast beef before him.
Where's the mustard? One can't eat beef without mustard.
Right in front of you, dear.
A messenger hurried in through a side door, spotted the regent at the high table, and hurried over to him. William smiled graciously at him, but his pulse quickened. He'd left instructions he wasn't to be disturbed unless it was vitally important. The messenger bowed briefly to him.
Captain Doyle to see you, my lord. He says it's urgent.
Doyle?
One of the steward's men, my lord.
Bring him in. I'll talk to him.
The messenger hurried away, and William settled back in his chair, frowning in spite of himself. He knew he wasn't supposed to look worried in front of his guests, but of late the steward seemed to have only bad news for him. It wasn't her fault, of course, but more and more he had to fight down an urge to shout and rant at her for letting things get so out of hand. William rubbed tiredly at his aching eyes. Had the unreal broken through again? And if so, what did Taggart expect him to do about it? He'd already given her a carte blanche to do whatever she thought necessary to protect the castle. The messenger returned with the guard captain, and William looked him over dubiously. Doyle had to be the scruffiest guard he'd ever seen. The man was a disgrace to his uniform. Doyle came to a halt beside the regent and gestured with his head for the messenger to leave. The messenger looked at William, who nodded.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings, my lord, but Count Penhaligon and his family are dead.
Dead?
William looked at the guard blankly. Richard Penhaligon had always been one of his closest friends and his staunchest supporter.
You're sure?
I'm afraid so, my lord.
And his family? Even the children?
Yes, my lord. The unreal broke through in their chambers. It was very sudden. There was nothing anyone could have done. We used the sanctuary to put the room back to rights, but the Penhaligons were long dead by the time we got to them.
I see. Thank you for keeping me informed. Perhaps you could start arrangements for their burial.
I'm afraid not, my lord. There isn't enough left of them to bury. We did everything we could.
I'm sure you did.
William looked away from the guard. He suddenly felt very tired. His family were all dead and gone, and he'd lost most of his real friends in Malcolm's bloody campaigns. Richard Penhaligon had been the last, a brave knight and a cunning politician. He played the dulcimer badly and always knew the latest jokes. And now he was gone, like all the others. William looked back at the waiting guard.
Where's the steward now?
Up on the roof, my lord, dealing with the gargoyles.
Tell her I'd like to see her when she has a spare moment. It's not important, but I would like to see her.
Yes, my lord.
William watched as Captain Doyle scurried away. Not all that long ago, it would have been the custom for rulers to execute those who brought them bad news. William could understand why. There was a sick, hollow anger churning within him, and he wanted to lash out at someone, anyone, but he knew he couldn't. He had to appear calm and controlled at all times, even when he was falling apart inside. His followers expected it of him. Damn them. He leaned back in his chair and wished that he could leave. He was tired. He was always tired these days. He was so tense he couldn't ever relax, and what little sleep he got didn't refresh him. Gabrielle did her best to help and support him, but there wasn't really anything she could do. He looked across at her and saw she was looking at him concernedly. He managed a small smile for her.
Don't worry, my love. I'm all right. Just thinking.
About Richard Penhaligon. I am sorry, William.
No, I'll miss him more than I can say. But no, I wasn't just thinking about him. More and more I keep wondering if I'm doing the right thing. The rite of transference is a hell of a gamble, and it can all so easily go wrong. We could end up with a real villain for a king, and the alternative may not be as bad as we thought. My little talk with Victor went a lot better than I had anticipated. Exiles changed him a lot, and all for the better. Maybe I was wrong to meddle in the succession after all.
Now stop that. You and I spent months weighing up the pros and cons of what we might have to do when Father died. This is the only way to save Red Heart, and you know it. They're my family, William, and I know them far better than you ever could. None of my brothers is fit to be king, least of all Victor. Oh, he's mellowed a lot, I'll grant you that. But if anything, he's weaker and more indecisive now than he ever was. They're my father's sons, all three of them, worthless to the bone.
Now, Gabrielle, that's not true. Your father and I had our disagreements, but there was still much in the man that I admired.
He was a fool. He wasted his life on endless battles for a few extra miles of land. All he ever really cared for was bloodshed and slaughter. Never had any time for his family. My mother worshipped him, and she was lucky if she saw him one day in 10. And his children hardly saw him at all. If he'd spent more time with his sons, they might not have turned out the way they did.
He can't have been all bad. He managed to produce you, didn't he?
Don't change the subject. Redheart needs a strong king, a king it can rely on, and the simple truth is that none of Malcolm's sons are fit to rule. Were any of them to become king, Redheart would face utter devastation. You can change that. History will remember you as the man who put an end to the nightmare. I know it's been hard for you, my love, but it's nearly over now. Just hang on a little longer. I know how close you and Richard were, how much he meant to you, but you're not alone. You still have me.
Yes, I still have you.